Ready? Let's go, girls. Okay.
I'm recording.
Okay, great. Me too.
Yes.
Okay, let me turn you. I'm gonna turn you down because this is gonna be. Oh, gonna be feedback.
She's loud.
It's gonna be.
I'm always loud.
Feedback and babe. Yeah, no, me too. You're loud, and I talk too much. It's fine. And we swear too much, apparently, Shelly.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll try to keep
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Mom.
No, no, I won't. It's.
I don't know.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Whitney. Happy Tuesday. How are you?
Oh my goodness. I'm great. How are you?
Breathless and exhausted.
I know you just got, she just got back into town.
Like 5 minutes
I'm
ago.
I'm still out in the woods.
You're out in the wilderness.
I am.
You're out I'm in corn the, country.
I'm on 2,000 acres of corn and soy fields.
Delightful.
Shout out to Gramps and Grandma.
Whitney's having a sabbatical in the country. I love that for you. You're taking super good care of yourself and walking and getting the sunshine and...
Oh my gosh, you can get so much done and take care of yourself when you don't have like kiddos to drop off in the morning. And
yeah.
What do y'all like single people do? This is like amazing.
It's pretty fun. I'm just saying.
I know. Yeah, I'm out here in the Quad Cities. Go River Bandits. Anyway.
Delightful.
Hi, guys. There's like a lot going on in the world. So we're just coming to you live today, as remote as we are, to discuss a few things around timelines and trying to tee up some stuff for some of our bride listeners that are planning weddings. And obviously, we are out on the road. So we are going to give you a little insight into our lives right now as bridal season has started. So
I hope to be clear when I speak today. I'm not really sure that I can do this with making a whole
Megan's
lot of sense,
a little
but I'm
broken.
Gonna try. I'm gonna really, really try. I'm gonna really
Are you
try.
Broken, babe?
I'm just, you know, and I'm just tired. It's like a bit whirlwind and the flights and the things and like doing makeup in the back of a van and like my body hurts.
Yes.
And it's just a lot.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited. Well, let's kick off the show, and then I want to hear about what airports you hate the most.
Okay, oh, yes! I love this. Perfect.
Hey, babes. Thanks for joining Brighter Die Podcast. We are your unapologetically authentic veteran beauty team full of knowledge and hilarious commentary.
We're serving up radically honest, practical advice, story support, and community every single week. For our brides, we ride or die. Okay, so the airport, I think the number one airport that I hate the most, the one I've had the most trouble with is like DFW, because if you have a gate switch, you're totally screwed.
You.
You're totally screwed.
Well, and I've flown into San Antonio before, but never the Fort Worth, Dallas.
Love Field is the move if you're going to Dallas.
Dude.
Go to
Love. I was like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And that little monorail thing is like hauling ass. I like flew to the...
It's not
I was
cute.
Like, I don't need to sit down.
I don't no. like it.
It's adorable, right? No, it's definitely not. If you see me in the airport, guys, it's just lugging all the things.
Oh, I look like a gremlin yesterday. I went out kind of cute, came back looking like a trash bag. It was bad, but it's fine. A little schlob kebab. It's all right.
A little hefty.
It's all right.
Cute.
It's fine.
Oh,
but I made it home.
Well, you flew. So I flew Dallas, Fort Worth, and then on to Moline and flew into
Illinois.
Nowhere. It is. I thought the Medford airport was small, but I was like, damn, guys. And then you flew into what, Salt Lake?
Salt Lake. Yeah. I'm from Eugene to Salt Lake.
That one's kind of a nightmare too if they drop you off on the tarmac and make you walk.
They actually don't. So it wasn't I mean, this time it wasn't bad. I kind of like the Salt Lake airport. There's like pretty decent food in there and
good restaurants, yeah.
Like decent stuff and, you know, not a lot of coffee shops cuz obviously one of the gals that we were with was like, "I really could go for like a glass of wine with dinner." Not happening cuz we're in Utah. And then
it's dry.
Somebody ordered like a beverage and you'll get like 6 ounces at a time. They don't give you the whole thing at once. They break it up into you get your booze and
That's so kind of them to monitor your drinking for you.
Well, when in Rome,
right.
You know, we did a content shoot on Saturday. We did multiple models. We did sunrise. We did sunset all in one day. Lots of driving. We did the Bonneville Salt Flats and we did the Pink Lake.
Oh my gosh.
Great experience. I want to shout
how
out
was your,
a couple
how was
people.
Your, like, yes. How was your makeup application in the van?
It was fine.
Like, we've done some cool things, but I was like, oh my God, that's fun.
Well, Whitney Marie,
or not.
I brought my tripod, okay, to catch that
know,
sweet B-roll, babe. And the wind was ripping at like, I don't know, 50 miles an hour. It felt like a lot. It wasn't that fast, but it was a very windy day. And I was concerned about like hairstyles, obviously. And it was cooler because it was like obviously sunrise. So we did like a sunrise shoot. Like I prepped her before we left. We drove out there an hour. She was already ready when we got there. I did a quick touch up and then sunrise, bam. And then we shot her for a while. And then they were switching to do look number two. So photographers took off to do details, and then I did switched her makeup in the van, and then I did like a kind of Coachella inspired mermaid situation because shout out Lindsay Newton with Till Death Do We Adventure, who had a vision for this mermaid, and it's really cute. She did a sneak peek last night. She posted it. I have not had the strength to like go in and do any of that yet, but I will today.
It was really that you got fun content, to make because I. Whenever you like set up your shit, I'm always like, yes, because I know that's like for a lot of us, it can be a whole other job to do that while you're under pressure and trying to execute, beautiful makeup looks.
Such a struggle in the back of a van, catching my B-roll in the back of a van, doing an avant-garde
sand in the
out
face.
Of the bridal box look. I was like channeling my Coachella. It was a lot. It was pretty. It was good. It was demanding, but I like that. I like a good, hard, demanding job.
We thrive in that. Yes.
Yeah. My body that's hates awesome. Me though. That's okay.
Did you not prep your little juicies and things?
There was really no time because I had so much work on the front end, and then like I go right back to work
tomorrow.
So you're
just like dead today.
And I have to edit this, and I have to get this out, and like, ooh,
yes, you do.
Moving right along into timelines. Okay, so we're gathered here today to discuss a topic that I have been pretty passionate about and pretty outspoken about too, and that is timelines, because there are so many instances where. And I think we're going to break this kind of into two different buckets. You have a bucket if you have a planner, and then there's a bucket if you don't have a planner. So we have advice for other vendors in the industry. We have advice for brides. We have advice for other hair and makeup artists. So it's like from our point of view, this is, I think, where we see people get lost in the sauce. Things start going wrong. We can have a lot of pretty serious scheduling kerfuffles if there's not a lot of good communication. And one of the things, I think the reason that we have a sort of a unique perspective on this is that we are the first people sort of on scene the day that everything goes down. Your photographer's not there at 6 a.m. Your planner's not going to be there at 6 a.m. Nobody's coming except us.
It's us. Yeah. And we see everything in the morning. Lack of, we don't know where we're going. No one's answering their phone. Like if it's not executed in the proper way, things can really go awry. And like you said, like if it goes sideways with us, the rest of the day, we're kind of responsible to get everybody back on the train. Yeah. And it can be really hard.
I think the thing for me though, is I probably end up projecting my own shit off onto people. So I'm just going to say this could be a projection, but here's the thing.
No.
Yeah. One of the things that I really, really hate is when shit's preventable and we're all here falling apart when it didn't have to go this
way.
She
went there.
That is a thing, girl.
Yeah. Are you kind of warn folks, I think, too, about like, hey, we like to prep for like worst case scenario, and then the worst case scenario happens and you're like, oh, holy hell.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
There's an old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And this is like the truth. A little bit of prep is going to get you so much further than if you just wake up and wing it.
Yes.
So I would say, my first bit of advice for everyone, for brides particularly, if you do have a planner, I highly suggest looping them in to all of your other vendor contacts as soon as they are all booked, so that your planner has the opportunity to connect with every single person that plans to be there that day. It's really critical, I think, and I will die on this hill, and if anyone disagrees, just find us in the chat, but because we are the first ones there in the morning, if it goes off the rails with us because of bad communication or poor planning, it will not really recover. Okay. I'm going to say that again. It will not recover. If it's bad in the morning and shit's a mess, it's not going to get better. If you have a trained professional, if you've got hair and makeup teams, we can absolutely make up time. We can work miracles. I'm not saying that we're not capable of doing that. I can do really amazing things in a very short period of time because of planning just got like there was a miscommunication, stuff wasn't clear, and someone assumed, and now here we are having like, okay, the day's here.
The assumptions.
The miscommunication. So
yes,
but I will say,
or
even
lack
if
of.
Even if here, and this is for brides, so if you're a bride listening, hear me out, or if you're any other vendor that cares about your bride, even if the hair and makeup team can get the everything, the ball back on the court, and we're back on time and we're going to make it, the energy's off. It's not fun. And it's like everything goes by in a blur. You're not present. You're not with your people. It's all a rush. It's a huge ball of stress. And that's not the vibe. I don't want to work like that. You shouldn't have a day like that. Other vendors, no. And here's the thing, when the other vendors show up, they're like, oh, hair and makeup's late again. Like, it's always us, you know, that's it is always, the issue. Yeah. We sort of do, I think.
We do take the brunt of the industry, I think, when it comes to, like, being the scapegoat of time suckers or whatever. Yeah. And it is not fair. I will die on that hill as well.
I've also seen some hair and makeup people really biff it the whole way. I'm like, this is not. I've seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Assuming that everybody...
Again, we're going to speak on this because we have years of experience and probably made similar mistakes in the beginning, mm-hmm. And or have seen how things can really just truly become crazy. And once you can't reel it in at a certain point, you know, and then you're just putting Band-Aids on things. So
yeah, it's a whole mess. It's a lot.
It's a major event. So you need to have some like really solid planning in place, you know, especially for when we show up. We need to know... parking situations. We need to know the room number. We need to have you out of bed. If you want a 4 a.m. start time, your ass needs to be out of your bed. You know, like there's been several situations where that has not happened. So I love you guys, but, and I'm all for beauty sleep, but drinking heavily the night before and then not being able to wake up, it's just
problematic.
You know, we're still going to literally pull you out of bed and put you in the chair. So
I have one job, and that is to get you done on time.
Yes.
I have one job.
We're kind of like the cruise director in the morning, you know, and then it kind of gets passed on to your planner and or your photographer, depending on elopement versus larger, you know, budgeted thing. So, yeah, it's our responsibility to make sure your ass is up in the morning.
No, it's not. It's not my responsibility to make sure you're up in the morning.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I will come pounding on that door. So if you don't want the awakening of me at like 4 o'clock, like, hey, girl, and you better, you might consider. But more than that, I think the thing that I have, a couple of things that I have seen where, again, lack of communication or like maybe a bride, and you brides don't know. That's why we did this podcast. You guys have no idea. You've not done this before. You don't know. And that's totally okay. And I hope that by listening, you'll get like a couple of gems like, ooh, I'm not having that happen to me. So I'm going to like put that in my back pocket and remember. I have a spot in my contract for brides to put their planner's information. And the minute I receive that, that kind of goes at the top of my list. Like, okay, I will shoot an email over. Hey, how you doing? I'm connecting with you. So-and-so and I are working. I am preemptive about a lot of things. Like so-and-so and I are working on the timeline. Just so you know, the bride has not okayed additional artists. I will be working on these four ladies by myself today, etc. I just want you to be aware of that. And the reason that I am preemptive about it is I have more than one occasion received a timeline from a planner way sort of ahead in the process. I didn't know the bride had a planner because she didn't put that on the contract. I think she hired like a 30-day person out later in the game, which is totally okay. That's fine. If you get a planner on board.
Yeah, we can get
into
that too.
Yeah, if you get a planner on board later, totally fine. But the planner assumed that I would be rolling in with like three artists. And that's not what the bride and I have contracted. And that's not what we've discussed.
Well, can't you just put them all in the chairs
right,
next to each other and do them all at the same time?
Do them all at once? Sure. But that was like a wild assumption. I'm not real sure how she got that community. I'm not really sure where that information came from because it didn't come from me. I, you know, and the bride did not.
It's just a lack of knowledge around it.
Right. But I think it's. Yeah. Now I'm looking at this timeline and I'm like, well, my bride hasn't okayed because for each additional person that comes with us, of course, that's an additional upcharge. We have to contract those artists. And so we have to be compensated for that. So it costs you more to bring more people, which I thought was
assistants,
customary.
Assistants are different and a different
right.
labor cost
sure.
than a licensed insured professional artist.
And
you're
to be honest,
level of experience.
All of this information should really be, all the details should be worked out way ahead of like me getting a final timeline day up from the planner 2 weeks out.
With like 15 minutes a person or something?
Something.
Can you tell the people?
It wasn't 15 minutes a person. It wasn't that. It was that she really in her mind was like, there's going to be four chairs going at the same time. There's not going to be four chairs. It's just me. I don't have three other people continuing services alongside me where it's like two makeups, two hairs are happening. Like that wasn't what we talked about, wasn't what we discussed. So now 2 weeks out, I'm having to go back to the bride and the planner and say, hi, let's discuss what's contracted, which also lets me know that the planner didn't probably check my contract to see, because I line everything out. If there's assistants, that's on there. If there's other artists, that's on there. So she didn't check that.
Absolutely.
She didn't talk to the bride about what we discussed. I don't know where this wild assumption came from. Either way, it's 2 weeks away from this day, and now I'm panicking. Like, do they?
She thinks you're Annie Oakley, babe.
Do they expect me to come rolling deep with a squad? Because that's not what I planned, and we have 2 weeks.
Well, they can pay you $400 each additional artist or assistant that you're bringing in.
But here's the thing. Once my bride sees this, and then I go back and say, well, actually, now it's an additional cost. So I talk to the planner. I'm like, hi, this isn't what we talked about. Here's a copy of the contract that we have together. This is the initial timeline that the bride and I had discussed. If you guys are moving into a different like plan, you're going to have to pull some resources to get me additional artists, because we're at the point now where it's I don't have anybody on my team available 2 weeks away. And in my contract, it says that like we can't make changes that far out, because I've got income to cover and things.
This is also why contracts are important.
Exactly.
Business owners.
Of course. So I would say it's really critical to loop people in. And I've had that happen so many times that I'm very quick to reach out to the planner and say, we've discussed this. She has not authorized any additional staff. It will be me only. I anticipate X number of hours. I will work backwards from whatever time you guys want her dressed and ready. So just let me know what more I can do for you. Thanks so much. Here's my cell if you need me. Like a little bit of a connection. This is what we've high level. This is what we've talked about. If you guys are making changes, fine. I know it's a lot of extra work for the hair and makeup team, but honestly, being proactive is an exceptional way to showcase your business savvy, that you're like, hi, I'm here to deliver for my client. I'm here to get ahead of any potential challenges.
Well, and everybody's going to be, I would say, a little bit different. So just because we're talking about planning doesn't necessarily mean that you need like an Excel spreadsheet with every single thing and every, you know, very organized and all the things. I think a simple email sometimes too is almost just as great, or a three-way phone call. I've had several of those, and it puts the planner, the vendor, and the bride all on the same page. And to your point, like if we need to add buffers or we need to mention early start time, the planners need to know that.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't had a planner on yet, but, you know, essentially, like, it's hard because I think there's also new folks to the industry. There's people that you said, like, 30-day coordinators. Like, that's hard if we've had brides booked for a year. They don't know that we've been in constant contact about, you know, what time it was, what she signed when we booked. You know, it says 7 a.m. start time, but, the venue doesn't let you in until noon.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to all of it.
You know,
that's
even
another
day
piece.
Of coordinator. That's also an issue too, because they're only coming in for the day. Maybe you talk to them twice, and your vendor doesn't even have a clue what's going on because the information has not been relayed. Because we need ample time for services, at least 30 to 40 minutes a person, so that we have, you know, do you have allergies? Can we have a consultation? What's your look today?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can execute the thing and then sanitize. Mm-hmm. So we have to protect that if we're going to have them rolling back to back to back to back, to your point. And you and I think, cap out at about 8 or 9 services on our own before we have to bring someone else in. It's a lot.
So it depends. It depends on the timing. If I'm given all the time in the world to get my girls ready, then I cap out at 10 services.
Yeah.
Because I'm old and my back hurts.
That's tiring, girl.
And it's a lot. My art suffers. If I have many people, and you and I have talked about this too, like we don't treat bridesmaids just like any person. A bridesmaid is our client. Their desired looks, what they want to wear. We do a consultation with them. We give them the look that they want. It's not plug and play. I don't look to the bride to tell me what these people are doing. I know what my bride's look is like. And I know that sort of sets not quite the tone, but I want everybody to be cohesive while honoring everyone's individual desire for how they look that day. Oftentimes, these bridesmaids are paying for a service, and they should
top dollar
and they should receive the service that they desire. And I've seen also on socials a lot of, and this is a sidebar, I'm not going to drift too far, so hang on. I've seen a lot of I think it was the Uncorked Project. Shout out you guys, doing great work over there. That had posted a take on a makeup artist that was like, hi, bridesmaids, it's not your day. Sit down, be quiet. And I'm like, nope, hard disagree. Absolutely not. And makeup artists, listen, it really behooves you to baby your bridesmaids and be kind to your bridesmaids. You don't know who in that crowd, if you're in a small market, you don't know who in that crowd is about to get engaged. You don't know who in that crowd is picking a makeup artist. You are on, honey bunny. This is your audition. You know what I'm saying?
It's really important, I think, to have a really consistent guest experience. That's for it. Moms, for bridesmaids, mm-hmm. and for your bride. And it doesn't mean that your bride isn't the center of the attention that day just because you're pouring into somebody else. She can still be the center of attention. And maybe you give buffer time and give more time. That's usually what I do. I give a little bit more time. Brides are also not at the beginning or the end of your list of folks. They're somewhere in the middle end. Mm-hmm. You want to have them, you know, having the grounding time, sending them outside, getting them food, you know, time. 10 to 15 minutes is not enough time for somebody to get into their dress. Like, we can do it, but you don't want to be rushed. You got to pee. You got to do all the things. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think to your point, it's just you never know who you're working on and what's going on in their life. And they could be potential, really amazing potential relationships you have yeah. in the future for your business.
I mean, so. I'll just say this, like for 10 years, we didn't advertise anywhere. We didn't need marketing. We were on socials, which I think is important. Like, we were active on social media. We were pretty good about that. Instagram, Facebook,
all
that.
I just had like a Facebook page. I didn't even have an Instagram until COVID.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, no, I've had an Instagram. I've had business Instagram.
I was at the Mac counter.
That's right.
I was, you know, people come in for foundation. I'm getting married. And I'm like, oh, I do weddings.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really good way to get.
That's a great way. Back in the day, back when retail makeup was retail makeup anyway. But I do think it is a great way. I mean, that's how we built a business with and it was like 100% referrals. Our marketing was just referrals. And so I think it's valuable, and I think you should build in time to take care of your guests. It's not the bride gets an hour and the girls get 20 minutes. No, you can't charge what we charge if you're going to offer you get what you get and you don't get mad for 20 minutes. That's not going to stick and stay. No, I don't like it. So
no,
I think it's important
not.
as any vendor would. You know, you discuss your shots list with your photographer. You discuss what moments you want captured. And then the photographer tells you, well, this is how long it's going to take me to deliver that for you. And the same is true for us. If you come and say, well, I've got four ladies in addition to the bride, these, you know, whatever the services are going to be for the day, let the makeup artist tell you exactly how long that's going to take them. No one knows how long it takes them to do their job better than they do. And also,
preach,
you know, so yes. for my planners, like, yes. don't assume. Touch base, I think, is the thing.
Well, and I think they're really quick to chat with photographers because photographers they're directing the whole day,
of course.
And they're producing the product, right? And a lot of times we get left out of the communication,
often,
which is fine, but you and I both, I think we put the gas on that a lot, like,
not
hey
fine.
Do you have a photographer, you know, like, I need to know who your photographer is, not because I need to go hunt them down, but in case I need to make sure that the timeline's correct or maybe the lighting's shifted and I need to go sit in the woods for an hour on an elopement and wait. Like, there are things that we would need to kind of make adjustments to your day, and the more communication, the better, mm-hmm. you know?
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I love the tip of having planner information and photographer information on your contract.
Get it on the contract. Make them put it down.
Dealing with 50 of you a year and 2025 folks are now, you know, reaching out. Like, it's a lot of people contacting us. And so the more information we have solidified in your little client file is the better. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of reaching out ahead of time too. I'm a big fan, like I said, of hitting
so
up
collaborative.
Planners. Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, I guess my point is it's collaborative between at least your top three, which I think are the planner, the photographer, and your hair and makeup team. You know,
for the first thing in the morning,
the little tripod
for the beginning
that, like, builds a foundation
of the day.
And then you've got your caterer, your DJ, and whoever else, bartender, whatever. So, yeah, it's important.
But there's not a lot of flex with, like, what time catering is going to start. There's not a lot of flex with what time ceremony starts. There's not a lot of flex with, like, those are fixed times. And I think that we need to, as a community, I'm just going to say it, as a community, we also need to, if I may plead with y'all, offer your hair and makeup teams the same amount of respect. Those are fixed times, okay? Mm-hmm. And in order for every single vendor to deliver the experience that they have sold their bride, right, their couple, we need to offer them and afford them the space and the time that they need to do their job. We don't tell the caterers to hurry up. Like, it's just... It's not flexible. No. It's really not flexible. And the beginning of your day dictates how
it
the whole day goes.
It goes into the value. It
Absolutely.
Goes into, like, value on in our art and our ability to run a business and professionalism. And, I mean, you and I have really had to work very hard to prove our value, as lots of artists in the industry have, because of stereotypes and the flaky hairdresser mentality and people not showing up and shitty work and whatever. So, yeah, I think that some of the biggest mistakes that are made are like not giving us ample time or shifting around the timeline drastically.
Yeah.
Like cutting our time in half.
So ask me how that turned out with the 2 weeks away. You need to bring three people and have eight folks ready in 2 hours.
Oh my gosh, please. What was the resolve there?
So I reached out to the planner and I said, hi, hello, how are you? Good afternoon.
Little Capricorn up your ass.
Hey, girl. I know. It's terrible. You do not listen, folks.
But there's nothing fake about you. It is,
you don't want a Capricorn
on
your
patootie. Straight up.
You do not.
No, you don't.
You don't.
We'll hold you accountable.
Relentless.
In the sweetest way. Well, maybe not you, but.
I reached out to the planner and I said, hey, so here's what. We didn't discuss additional staff. When my bride was in for her trial, this was a traditional, this was before COVID. But I've had another one recently. I'll get to that one in a minute. I said, we didn't discuss additional staff. As such, that's not been contracted or paid for or secured. I don't have staff because that wasn't what we talked about. When we talked about her timeline, we discussed, you know, starting at 8 and finishing at 1, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this timeline obviously does not align or allow for that. And so I'm going to need you to either, you're going to need to communicate with the bride because now we've got contract changes. If we're going to be making contract changes 2 weeks out, like this is just very stressful. So I would suggest
it's too much
in lieu of redoing the contract and having me try to source other people and have the bride now 2 weeks out of her wedding pay additional hundreds of dollars for all these other team members.
No stress
that I'm probably not going to be able to get, P.S. because it's June. Yeah. So like, good luck to me.
Oh, God.
Our options are to completely rebuild this machine or we just back up the timeline so I can do what I said I was going to do and like get it done that way. The planner was not pleased. I was not confrontational, though. I wasn't like, I don't know where you thought these other three people
were
coming
sassy?
From. She wasn't happy. I don't know. I don't know if...
Not on you.
I don't know if she was promising, like, we can have all this... I don't know. I don't know. Again, because I'm out of the loop on communication, I don't know what was promised from the planner. I don't know if the planner brand promise is you can have a relaxing morning with, like, a late start and still... I don't know what they discussed.
No, guys. No one has. No.
But unless she plans to come do hair with me, you're I'm not real early. Sure. Not real sure.
Oh, my God.
How that's going to go.
All right, babe. Grab a curling iron.
And I do believe that this is like a relationships business. And I adore the people that I work with. And they are my colleagues. And they're my, and, you know, it's just, it's like any other job that you may have. You have to be respectful of your
colleagues. Hopefully that was a learning experience for that planner too, because maybe she had never run into that before, or, you know, had a larger party, but yeah, your face. Stank face.
Okay.
Hard eye roll. What do they call it? Side eye.
Side eye. So anyway, that was a stressful moment and I don't want to stress my brides. Like I care about them and I go out of my way to, I hope, provide them with lots of information and good tips and tricks and all the things. And so when another vendor's like, yeah, nope, not happening, or it all shifts, it can be very stressful for everyone. And also, again, more than anything, situation that could have easily been avoided. So I would say
we're lucky that I think it's few and far between that we're actually running into the situation where, and I don't want to say it's a pissing contest, but maybe somebody's trying to take control a little bit more than like one vendor. I have seen that happen for like larger budgeted weddings. You know, so I think the biggest thing is you want to pad your timeline with enough time. That's the like buffers of time, ample time for like a first look, getting in your dress, because girl, you don't know if you're going to have like bathroom issues or like somebody doesn't show up on time. Like we've been standing around waiting for a bridesmaid or
again,
two.
Like, that sort of fits into the glam part of it all though. Like that's a great way to tee this up. Whitney, thank you so much. Cause now we're going to talk about what happens when you don't have a planner and how the timeline works. If there's no master person with the master timeline of all the things to wrap up that part. It's important, I think, for vendors to remember that we're working for the couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not working for the planner.
We're all working for them. Like we need to play nice and be respectful with each other and deliver for them. That's what we're doing. So.
Well, and everybody runs their business differently. So, you know, but again, a hard line on like communicative, like, you know, good response time, lots of information being like shared, I think is just really important.
Yeah.
you know, and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't go in blind there.
Yeah.
There has to be like a pathway of like, okay, where am I going? What's the room? Where's the parking situation? That gets really sticky.
Yeah.
Or if you're a planner not picking up your phone, I've also had that happen, which is like so frustrating.
A lot.
Because it's early and they're sleeping, but I'm like, girl, if I'm up, you're up, is my kind of opinion on that. You know, like, give me some access to you then. You know?
Well,
but I digress. What happens if you don't have a planner, Megan?
What?
What happens if you don't have a planner?
Oh, yes. Well,
there's plenty of people do it and execute great days.
A lot. In fact, some of the smoothest days I've had, there's not a planner. And I'm not saying planners aren't great, because there's amazing planners out there. Amazing planners out there. If you don't have a planner, the boss of the day is, in my opinion, always going to be the photographer. Always, always, always. They are the boss. They're the timeline guru. They're the one in charge of the timing. Why? Because they have the biggest job of the day of anybody, in my opinion. They're there from soup to nuts.
Agreed.
From getting ready to the bitter, bitter end. They have a huge task ahead of them.
Yes,
I mean,
this
is like, it's massive, right?
They're wrangling cats. Yes.
Total, you know, they also have objectives to execute. Like, if some brides are like, oh, we want all these family portraits. And the reason that I know this is, one, all my friends are wedding photographers. And two, if we ever were hired on to do concierge, we're here for their process. So we watch them work all day long. We kind of know, we've been around long enough to kind of know how it all goes. And particularly too, if you've got like sunset or sunrise, if you're in elopement, you know, those we can't move a sunrise or a sunset. Like, if we miss it, we miss it, and that's it. And so chasing light and chasing family members is a very stressful job.
Oh my gosh.
So
it reminds me of the vendor table. I think Lauren had a really cute reel. We should share it.
Okay.
Love them.
We'll post it.
Because they reached out to us this week, and I was like, I love you guys.
I know. They're great.
But yeah, she's like kind of poking around and like dipping between dancing couples. And like, there's like a big, you know, venue outside, and you can see she's chasing light. That is literally their job,
mm-hmm.
To execute these like beautiful like moments in time.
Yep. And if we're late, we're stressed,
girl,
we ain't gonna get them. And that energy just is pervasive. Like, that stressful craziness just continues. And I think that's a thing that I want to prevent for everyone, for vendors, mm-hmm. for brides. Because here's the thing. If your vendor team is like comfortable and they've had enough time to execute their job, boy, are they going to knock it out of the park for you. And they're going to work really well together. That's just it. They're, you know what I mean?
And then it's fun and enjoyable.
Yes. And then it's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
So
yeah.
I always ask my brides who don't have a planner, when you discuss your final timing with your photographer, I'm going to need to see that. So mm-hmm. whenever you guys discuss the shot list, whether you're during a first look or whether you're not, whatever you choose to capture that day, whenever you're done with it, please send it to me so I can receive it. Also, pro tip, photographers, if this isn't on your timeline, your hair and makeup teams are going to love to see it. So let's maybe talk about it. The one thing, Whitney, what's the one thing you look for on a timeline from a photographer that you base, because here's a good hair and makeup team's going to dovetail their timing with your photography timing. So it's almost like we do the smooth handoff of one vendor to the other, especially if you're doing getting ready coverage, a first look, mm-hmm. things like that. What is the one thing that you look for on the timeline that you build your timing backwards from? I have one thing. Do you have one thing?
Yeah, it's usually first look or start time of the ceremony. Because if they've got us coming in at 9 a.m. and they've got a 12 p.m. start time, I'm going to be like, skirt.
Yeah, I don't look at
that. Okay, you have 12 fucking people. I'm not going to be able to do that.
I don't look at
You don't
at
look
that.
At ceremony time?
Nope. Don't care about it.
What?
I want to know what time.
What do you look at?
I want to know what time my photographer wants her dressed. And so photographers, if you don't have a Cassandra in her dress or Cassandra dressing or
Cassandra
getting dressed at a certain time. I think that's a wonderful way to avoid a lot of drama, because I've had some photographer timelines that are lovely, but they're really loosey goosey. It's like getting ready coverage starts at 10 and then, you know, the ceremony starts at 4 and there's not a lot in between there. I don't know what time I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
Right.
The reason I look at first look is because my bride should be dressed well before that. Mm-hmm. And so I'll usually...
But what time well before that? Are they having to drive?
Minutes,
are they switching locations? What's going
on?
And
no, exactly.
When
I
does
guess
she need
I'm
to be
thinking
dressed?
More elopements. But for larger things, you know, we do have people that get ready at Airbnbs and then they have to transport folks like 45 minutes. So
right.
That's a great point. So, yeah, it is important to communicate with the photographer. They're directing the whole thing.
What time do you want her dressed, y'all? What time do you want her in her dress? Because then if she's not dressed, we're not done yet. You know what I mean? The reason I like their dressing time is I like to hang with them as they're getting ready to get dressed. That way, if, I have to pull my dress over my head. Shit, I didn't think about that. And something happens to their hair. I want to be there to fix it for them. I don't want a bridesmaid trying to fix it. I don't want anybody doing touch-ups on makeup or anything like that. I would like to stay until she's dressed and getting ready to either get in the car or head out to her first look or something like that. So I personally build my timelines based on dressing time for that exact reason. I want her, if she doesn't have tape, I have that. If she doesn't have a safety pin, I have that.
Yeah, for we're doing the shimmer on the décolleté.
There's a lot.
And things like that that are little moments that maybe your photographer, maybe you skipped paying for the big, you know, getting ready photos in the morning because sometimes it's cost.
It's just additional
coverage.
Coming
in. But then you get some like cute little, you're in your dress and you're getting like your chest or your, you know, whatever, lip retouched. Like those are really good.
I would and this is a
bias. And we can pretend in the moment. We've had to do that.
This is a bias, but I would much rather see a bride do getting ready photos than like the last hour of the ceremony. Because the last hour of your ceremony kind of can get a little wild.
God.
I mean, maybe you want that. I don't know.
Whiskey
That's up to
smiles.
You. If you want to capture the crazy tie around the fort, you know,
grandma
somebody's
taking her
got
wig
a
off.
Tie tied around his head, you know, drinking Jägermeister and doing the worm. Totally do that because that can be really fun.
Oh, cousin Gary.
It happened at my wedding. It's fine. Shout out Joey Gunther.
Oh, stop.
Oh my God, he was amazing.
Worm,
he did the worm.
Really?
Kelly did Thriller. We had a very fun reception.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never had that.
We did Thriller. We did the worm. It was wild. So regardless of what you want covered, I think for me, that's always
then
a
you
really
can get
handy.
Pictures of us in our double chins. Like, in the
my derp face is excellent.
Derp?
So
I know.
Good.
It's
I'm such a goblin. Whatever.
So folk.
My precious. So, yes, I think if you can share photography timelines or if you guys are going to do a first look or whatever, obviously, like if the photographer doesn't have those specifics in there, that's fine. Then I would I kind of turn around to the bride and I say, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what they're wanting to do. How long do you want? An hour between this and that? Do you, you know, how much time do you want to give yourself? Because you know if you're a mess or not. If you, like, I need more time because I personally go time blind. Like, if it's for me, if it's not for work, I go a little time blind. So in that case, then I work.
Same. That's why I have to wear a watch now.
I have to set timers for everything.
Yep.
But I asked the bride, like, first of all, do you want me to hang out while you get dressed? Because that can be helpful. If you don't, that's fine. And then additionally, how much time do you want between either getting dressed? Are you getting dressed elsewhere? Are you driving from getting ready and then getting dressed at the venue?
That.
So that's another, thing to think about. So yeah, just being mindful about time and adding buffer, Whitney, to your point, buffer the crap out of it. Because if you're ahead of schedule, that's best, then no one's upset and you have a moment to collect yourself and breathe and get into your body for just a moment and just be present, because I think presence is something that we lose.
Well, and I think we have talked about, like, putting, you know, let's say you have like a bridal party of eight, we've talked about this in the past, but why don't you put names in the timeline, Megan? You just put like what service.
So this is controversial. It is a little bit. That's okay. I think I've talked about this before, but I'll never stop talking about it, Whitney Marie. I'll never stop.
Keep talking. Before you get an attitude about timelines, well, it's woke me up like twice this week.
Okay.
On a timeline.
So I also had an interesting question from a planner who said, "What is your plan if you get behind?" And I was like, "To catch up."
I'm going to pull my britches up and I'm going to do this.
She was like, what happens if you fall behind? I'm like, well,
we figured out.
I've done this thousands of times.
In my, knock on wood, I have never in my almost 17 years of doing this lost like so much time to where we didn't recover. And maybe you're 20 minutes late. We've seen it happen because somebody didn't show up on time, but we recover.
Maybe. Or she's just worked with some hair and makeup teams that just shit the bed the whole time and like nothing was on time and nothing. I don't know. That's the thing. You don't know what experience
we
these folks have had. And so it's also important for me to not catch an attitude and approach communication.
I know, but you're from the East Coast, babe.
Yes, it's important for me to
y'all
to
just
say
direct.
That's right. And I, but in that instance, the bride was sort of the go-between between the planner and I. So the bride was posing these questions to me from the planner. And I answered her. I said, we have buffer time built in. We have this, we have that. So I addressed the concerns that were strange. I'd never really fielded questions like that before. And I said, but if your planner has concerns, by all means, let's schedule a call. Let's have your planner and I talk about it. You're paying for both of us. You're paying for the service of not you being the one doing all the stuff and things. So let me talk to them. They declined.
10-4.
Imagine.
That's the head swivel.
So it's terrible. Like, so I don't and she also asked if I would provide, I say all that to say, she also asked if I would provide a detailed timeline of Maria goes at 11, Monica goes at, you know, 11:40, Teresa goes at 12:30. Like, the reason that I avoid creating those timelines, specific appointments with persons' names in it, I have it requested. Planners love them. Some do. The reason that I don't do it is because in my experience of the times that I have, you know, sort of painstakingly put those together, I would say 85% of the time that doesn't happen on the day because Maria's got to go pump and this one's looking for her Spanx and I've got to run to CVS. I broke a nail and I don't have nail glue. I'm going to go over to mom's hotel.
Someone's dude forgot their shirt.
Yeah, so now they've got to go. It's
literally
the truth.
Every wedding. Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna die on that hill.
Yeah. So to your point, it's like butt in a chair.
Yeah,
you know,
and it creates like, much more stress when it goes off the rails. So now we sort of end up manufacturing a problem that didn't need to take place versus just saying if all of the ladies can be, if we can have two ladies ready to go at 8 o'clock. So say Whitney and I, you and I are working together and I'm doing hair and you're doing makeup. Perfect. Let's start at 8. We'll need two ladies ready at that time, one for hair, one for makeup to begin. And then we're going to do about every 40 minutes, we'll wind up with a new, you know, we'll have a new person come in. So as long as we've always got a tush in the chair at all times, we'll communicate. Like, I've got 10 more minutes. Maria, if you want to go take a bathroom break, babe, and brush your teeth, I'll be ready for makeup in about 10. We're really good about that. Like, I'm really good about that. Oh, yeah. I like people. I like to know what to expect and I like to be able to offer that to other folks. And so.
Well, sure. And I can see the value in that, too, because some people are like traveling in or they're staying for the day or so.
Right.
They want. I just think personally, like, your whole bridal party should be really flexible that day, in my opinion.
I agree.
And like the timing of like, well, so-and-so doesn't want to wake up early. And it's like, well, like.
And the other part of it too is like, I don't know the personal ins and outs of what's going on. If this one's postpartum and this one's traveled for however long, she flew from, you know, England to get here and she's jet lagged and tired. Like, I don't want to put her first on the list. And I don't know what's going on. So I would prefer that you guys work out whatever and go from there. So as long as somebody is there, as long as, again, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 people are there, whatever the start time is, and we know that we're going to rotate every 40 minutes or so into a new person, like into a new service, I think it's fine. I also think it's fun when everyone's there to get ready. Plus, if you don't, if you have like a monster-in-law or if you, because there's always family dynamics at play as well. So if there are family members that are receiving services, if you want them in and out, like come get your hair done and then move along so I can hang with my girls and have like a stress-free day like that. You can tell us that and we'll make that the plan because moms are usually up early anyway. So,
and I think we're really good at like navigating that too. And maybe it makes more sense, especially if you've got somebody who's like maybe maid of honor needs to go do table displays or whatever's going on, like centerpieces and stuff. Like we can do those folks earlier. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll throw like, okay, we know for sure Joanna needs to go at like 10.
Right.
You know, like we can do that. I'm not opposed to that. I just, to your point, I agree.
I just remembered a horror story about this.
Oh, God. Do you want to tell it?
Sure.
tell it.
This was many, many, many moons ago. I'm going to say this was probably, given the players in the game, probably about in the year of our Lord 2013, 2014 maybe. So this is an old story, but this is a good one. I had contracted a bride. I was coming on to do makeup, got the contract, everything's great. I get a phone call from the bride's soon-to-be sister-in-law. Now,
who you do not have a signed contract with?
That part.
She said that part.
That part, right there.
This stinks already.
So again, courtesy. I'm happy to, if a bridesmaid has questions, yeah. I'm happy to. I tell my girls, like, fine. If the girls want to send me a message or shoot me a DM or they have questions about how to prep for the day, fine. I'm not opposed to anyone communicating with me whatsoever. The customer's always right till you disrespect me. That's just how it is. And the disrespect and came very part. Quick in this phone call. Very quick. No, with the quickness. Really? Yes. 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 Yes.
Wait, do tell what details. What?
She now. Unbeknownst to me, okay, the bride didn't disclose, and she doesn't have to, by the way. This is her personal details and her family dynamics. It helps for the
correct.
It helps for the it helps for me to know family dynamics because I can then help navigate, and I can be the bad guy in a lot of situations. She said, I would like to do appointment times because I would like my mother-in-law to kind of come in the morning and then have her go. And I was like, okay, that's fine if that's what you'd like. So I did create a timeline for her, and this wasn't many services. It was maybe 5 makeup services, so it wasn't like a difficult timeline for me to swing whatsoever. And yeah. I put the bride last, of course, and all the things. And so I sent it off, and the sister-in-law calls and says, it's obscene that you put my mom first. And I was like, explain me why. I was like, okay. And she goes on to say, like, it's not fair. She's not, her makeup's not going to look good at the end of the day. Like, this is outrageous that you're putting her in the chair so many hours before the ceremony. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what kind of makeup? I was like, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Saying this to you like on a phone?
Yes. Like freaking out. And I said, okay, so here's the deal. My commitments and obligations are not to your mother. My commitments and obligations.
Period.
My commitment, my obligation is to the bride, first and foremost. Now, yeah. I understand that mom's, you know, and then. I understand that mom's concerned about her makeup lasting. I'm here to tell you that it will, et cetera, et cetera. I said, I always touch everyone up. So if she'd like to come back into the suite later to receive a touch up before I leave, that's totally fine. Well, that wasn't really going to cut it. So she really wants the mother-in-law to go later in the rotation. And I said, not what my bride's asking for. I think you guys maybe should have a conversation amongst the family and discuss how you both feel about this, because I, for one,
sometimes
do not get paid
really
enough to be involved in this minutia of family drama.
Ew.
The sister-in-law then goes on to explain how the bride is a child and she can't comprehend anything. And then the tea is spilled about all of the stuff and things and how immature
therapy.
She is and how hated she is by the groom's family. I'm like, ma'am. I am a makeup artist and a wedding professional. I am not a family therapist, and this is beyond the pale. This you've really pushed me past the point of being comfortable. I said, so I'm just gonna say, if you guys are unwilling to have a conversation, this is what I'm going to do. The schedule that I have created will stand, period, the end. If your mother opts out of services and would like to go to have makeup done elsewhere, her business, absolutely. Yeah. She doesn't need to participate. I was even willing to like take her out of the contract and not have her pay it. I
yeah,
was
like refund.
I'd
yeah.
Just go away. It's fine.
If the bride wasn't being, you know, combative with you, then I'd probably be like, you know what? Mother-in-law doesn't even need to be. I can make that decision as a business owner.
I don't need to do this. This is inappropriate. Yeah. Also, by the way.
Also.
And so this went round and round and round, and I wasn't coming off it. I said, would you, I said, and finally at the very end, I was really kind of gobsmacked. And I finally just said, are you telling me that you want me to renegotiate something that you don't have anything to actually do with contract wise? Like, does that make sense to you? Like, let's back. Does that make sense to you? I want you to tell me how it makes sense to you.
I love how you had to like be Megan the lawyer in that situation.
I should have done it. I'd have been a great lawyer. Don't you think?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I said, in an attempt to sort of smooth it over, I said, what I will do, though, what I can promise you is, and I said, and normally I charge for this, and I'm not even charging for this.
Oh, interesting.
What I will do
make a living.
Is I will swing by her suite to touch her up personally on my way out of the hotel. If she can't even come back in the room with her soon-to-be daughter-in-law, if that is a physical impossibility for her, if that's going to activate her past the point of... clearly, you all are very distressed by this whole thing. I will offer to come by and touch her up personally.
That's really, I would say, really gracious of you.
I thought so. But I wanted to get this lady off the phone with me because it was too
much.
That's
why I love you. She's like, yeah, I know, I'm too good.
So... and I kept my word. Okay. So I, mom, hi, how are you now? Masterfully, The bride and her girls went for breakfast really quickly to grab a bite while mom was her makeup done. So they said, Meg, we don't want you to have to break your kit down and move. We'll go have breakfast while you work on mom. 40 minutes later, we'll come back and then we'll be ready to go. And I was like, that perfect. You guys don't have to be in the same room together. Great. So girls come back. Mom leaves. The day goes on. Lovely day. I then head to mom's suite on the way out the hotel as promised. By the time I arrived, she'd been partying it up with the family and was so completely drunk, she didn't remember that I was coming back. Because remember, I had communicated with the daughter, not the mother. So it's like telephone.
And this is unpaid time.
Unpaid time.
We do things like this all the time.
All the time. So I rolled in. I grabbed my brush and my powder. And I just rolled over to mom, who was pretty inebriated. Very unhappy that her son's marrying this person that she cannot stand. It was really quite something. Elope, people. Elope. So I go in, touch her up. Barely. And then I end up just like leaving and didn't really even unpack my kit. I just had a couple of pieces in my hand and did my due diligence and checked the box and rolled out. But it was really like, even in the face of such like disrespect and rudeness, to still offer to do something, go out of my way to do something. And then to have them be so drunk that they weren't interested in me. They were like, okay, you're in the way, you can go. We're trying to party. And I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. Goodbye. I mean,
y'all, the pre-gaming,
it was so rude.
Wedding,
it was
I'm
so,
sorry.
It was,
like,
and
side
in the moment,
note, like that is such, that is so much trouble. It just, we have seen it. It's so much trouble. And pace yourself. There's nothing wrong with drinking. It's not a problem for everyone, but I just have seen so much shit like that. And then your vendors are like being treated like absolute,
That was like one of the hardest days of my career, because I really left there feeling very low.
Why the fuck am I doing this?
Like, I just was so I was like, come on. Like, yeah, I was trying to do something nice. And then by the time I get there, they were just like, they were really dismissive of me and like very no thank you so much for being accommodating or any of that. Like, it was really, and you know, I shouldn't expect myself out of everybody. I just can't imagine moving through life treating people that way. It just.
Yeah, but we're definitely human. So like, I know we talk a lot of shit and we're really tough people, but because we've really been treated dismissed, to your point, and been treated like shit. So yeah, we learn our lessons, and then, you know, sometimes you can't avoid it though.
Yeah.
Like that, there really wasn't anything you could do out of your control, and wasted probably a good hour of your time unpaid.
And I was starving. I really wanted to eat my lunch.
Oh my God.
And I just wanted to go to the bathroom.
We don't eat, y'all.
And like, I just,
we don't poop. We don't eat.
You know, that's kind of another reason that I don't, it's sort of like in that vein, I think timing is important. And if there is like family struggle or dynamic, I think it's also really okay for like, I think it's okay for like both sides of the family to get ready with separate vendors. I don't think like if groom's family is not in the vibe,
that's a great alternative.
Go or even moms who have gone to their hairdresser forever, please go to your hairdresser, go to the
Charlene
salon,
Bay.
Swing by, get a blowout, have your hair done. Like, please don't feel pressure to use the vendor's team. I mean, and as a person who makes money off of it, for me to say don't book that person is obviously counterintuitive, but at the end of the day, everyone's happiness and satisfaction
emotional,
is really important.
Right. And the like, what is the emotional like temperature worth, I think, is like really where
absolutely.
I would step in. And if we're losing like $300, I will gladly lose $300 in that situation so that the bride and or the vendors feel really zen that day. And
yeah,
the added stress of family stuff we see a lot. I mean, the only way I guess you could avoid that is if you're pulling a tarot card before we walk into a wedding. But
yep.
Megan's done it.
I've done it.
And I'm so just like, Lord, hear our prayer.
So I just think, you know, that was an instance of like a timeline issue that was clearly activating for somebody, that obviously there was more to the story than just like, how dare you have my mom go early for makeup? Like, clearly there's more to it. But my point
it's not about the red balloon.
Timelines are challenging. And, you know, you just, I would say, just be patient with one another and do your best. I don't know. So, yeah, that was a time when a timeline really, Mia being accommodating to family stuff was sort of backfired. But, yeah, my bride didn't really get into the details. She didn't really share the dirty laundry about the in-laws and the outlaws and all that. She was like, we're just going to have her come early so she can go hang out with her people. And she just kept it pushing, and it wasn't dramatic and a problem. And then the groom's sister was like, she's an asshole. Wah! And I'm like, this is a lot. I don't get paid for this. I remember this conversation vividly because I was also working in salon at the time. I had two jobs. I was doing weddings and then managing the salon. And I was literally
always hustling.
I was at the front desk of the salon doing like shampoo tech schedules. And this lady calls out of her brains like, I can't believe you would murder. And I'm like, this is, ma'am.
It's a lot. I think that's also why we're seeing an uptick in micro ceremonies and elopements.
Sure.
You know, in which I would love to have an episode on micros, but because it's less drama and it's less things that brides are having to navigate with less people. And the timelines, we still have timelines for those.
Totally.
But they're definitely more flexible and fluid compared to
ceremony. I'm going to say one thing about elopement timelines.
I know,
because
you gotta stick
that in there. What you just said is the trap that everybody falls into. So I'm going to check you, boo. Hold on. Yes, they're way more flexible generally, by and large, as a rule. Okay, but again, if my bride has an intricate look requested, if we're getting ready for sunrise, we miss the sunrise, folks. We miss the sunrise. Yeah. So,
or if there's two brides, and we've had multiple like double bride weddings where it's not just one gal, it's two. Right. And so, you know, we really do try to be inclusive and give time for that stuff. Yeah, sunrise is early, so that's a 2 a.m. setup time.
Yeah,
typically.
For one, depending on the time of year, but.
And depending on, you know, some of these photographers for elopements are really amazing. They have huge followings. They do great work and they travel out. They go up and down huge ass mountains and take y'all with them. So, you know, and if we're going with you or we're doing touch-ups that early, like, you got to get your butt out of bed.
Well, yes, you do. And you need to be rested. And hopefully your vendors are providing you with guides and check-ins and really good information ahead of the day so you can be prepared. And we're there to help you sort of see around the corners of what could potentially happen and help you navigate your way out of that successfully without you feeling crazy. Yes. And so when we send you, or me anyway, I'm a crazy guide person. So like I send everybody a guide for I have a guide for everything. And, I encourage you to read them. They're very helpful. They really will sort of make you think about things you didn't think about that I see every day that jams all of us up. Like, there's a reason that I make them. I don't do it just for fun.
Like elopement footwear or the time it takes to travel down to like a secret beach or, that has to be like time put into your like schedule for the day.
Right. Totally.
You're going to fly down there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And again, if you have a sunset shot planned, or if potentially you're roaming around, you don't have a ceremony location picked, you need to have the time to sort of hike around and be moved and be centered and find that. And if you're late getting to your photographer, you're not going to be thinking about, am I in this moment with my
partner? I can think of so many situations that we've had.
Am I, you know, because a lot of my brides don't have, or my couples don't have like a ceremony location picked. They just sort of let it come to them. But you need time in a present state of mind to discover that. And I think as aggressively as I can share things, and I am really aggressive and aggressively protective of my people, and my clients are my people. And if I come across really abrasive, it's because I really want you to have the best day possible. And I really don't want you to fall into the trap that so many other people do. Yeah. And that's why we started this podcast in the first place.
You can't just wing it, you know, like... We've tried it, at least I have, and you can't just wing it. You really have to button things up is really what it is. And
you need help buttoning things up? I'm your girl.
Oh, tuck it back in.
It's hanging
what
up.
I will say, I mean, lastly for me, I think, and you can, if you have another point, we can talk more, but I think for me, the biggest thing that I do have seen lately is these, and we have a whole episode on venue nightmares, which is like one of our top ones. So funny. Which is telling me that that's an issue, right? So is where we're getting ready and then we have to abruptly move our kit in the middle of the timeline. Now, several times I haven't been warned of this. And when we have to do that, that is very disruptive. It disrupts the flow of everything. And then the sanitation. We're having to pack
up. Do you charge for that?
I am now.
I do.
So if I'm literally having to move like
your whole setup.
Move venues and it takes me 20 minutes to set up, that means I have to unpack my ring light twice, that I have to unpack, like,
it's
this
a lot.
Is stuff that takes time and lug it around and we've condensed as much as we can, but it's heavy stuff. Yeah, and it's about 40 minutes to an hour, depending on where the location is. So, and some of these venues don't let you in super early, and we're starting at 6 a.m. It's, you know, pay your vendors for their time is what I'll say on that, because it does disrupt a lot of things. I've been lucky that I've had some really amazing people that have literally helped me do that in the middle of the process, and the whole family's like helping me move my kit, which I love. But also, there's more.
Don't
well, yeah, stuff. And then there's more, like, you know, contamination and
have
that
you have you washed your hands? Like, stop touching.
Yeah, because maybe,
like, you have ranch dip on your fingers.
Uncle
Please
Buck didn't wash
shit.
His hands.
Thank you so much.
Do you love that movie?
What?
I love that movie.
What movie?
Uncle Buck.
Oh yeah, it's a good one. How did we get there? What? Doesn't matter.
My ADHD just
we're there
me
and
so
it's
much.
Fine.
Because I said Uncle Buck was touching my kit and had to move the stuff.
Uncle Buck, thanks, buddy.
It just came out
now. If John Candy helped
John
me
Candy
move, I'd be like, sure,
John. He's not. Yeah,
may he
he's
rest
my
in
dad.
Peace. John, will you grab my ring light, please? Thank you so much. Like, I would love it. It'd be great. Like, you guys could, But even our lighting gear is hundreds. I mean, my lighting gear costs $300, so I'd really prefer that people not grab all of my lighting. Thank you.
Yeah, and I've had several things get broken. In those situations.
Yeah. But yes, I also I could also envision a world where a bride decides that morning that the makeup artist and hair people are going to have to move, and she's like, "Oh, we'll just have to move." Like, too bad. Like,
I have had that. Yeah.
But here's
where they
what.
Thought that they had permission to get into a place, and they were like, "No, it's being utilized for like a morning breakfast, a continental breakfast for like a big hotel or like a hacienda or whatever." Right. Now we're fucked, and we're squeezing into the broccoli fart closet again. So, God damn it!
Shout out Outshined Elopements. Hey, Stacey Garfield, how you doing, girl? She was with us in Utah, and we were having Thai.
Was she?
Yes, she was, and we were having Thai food, and she was like, "Oh my God, Megan and the broccoli. She hates it when people." So the broccoli fart closet.
Glad you've made a you've
made, made its a... way to Salt Lake City, just so you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm known for something. It's fine. Any press Helpful is good does. Press, right?
Yeah. No. Well, you did say that some, some girls
Guys,
thought we
eat whatever
cute.
You want. I don't care. It's fine. Do it.
It's your bowel movements. It's
it
fine.
Doesn't matter. I'm just being silly. It's really okay.
You did say that you got some feedback, though, yeah? People think we're relatable.
Yeah, word around the campfire is that we're kind of relatable. I was like, oh, cute. Okay,
that's good.
Yeah, I had one photographer explaining to myself. The other how what we were all about, and it was kind of I didn't interject. I was just going to let Stacey sell us, so she did. Thanks, girl. Love you.
Cute.
We're going to Foo Fighters together in Seattle. It's going to be super fun. Yeah,
jealous.
Yeah,
I need to get those tickets for. Where are we going? In Portland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like that show's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I really wish that our Rome girls were here for you, because they're the screamo queenos. And I'm not, but I'll go. I'll go to a show. I'll go to an envelope opening with you. And I don't care. It's fine.
Well,
that's the tea. We're recovering from traveling. I got to edit this and get it up. Whitney, should we close the
I'm
show
not
up?
Back for, I'm not back forever, I feel like.
Well, you're leaving tomorrow.
I'll see you next week.
Okay. What are we talking about next week, Whitney Marie?
Oh gosh. I don't know.
We talked about it already. We know what we're doing next week.
What are we doing next week?
I was hoping you would remember, because I fucking forgot.
Oh my God.
Whitney, we just talked about it.
I don't
remember. We just talked about it. Whitney.
I'm in a weird space and there's ghosts. I don't know. What do we talk about?
I don't know.
We're getting drafted and you're gonna show me how to build an AR.
No.
Oh.
We're gonna scour the internet for highly trafficked. What? Not trafficked. That's not the right word. What am I trying to say?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Popular wedding websites that give advice.
Yes.
Like the Knot wedding, you know, the Knot, the Wedding Wires,
etc.
Oh,
et yeah.
And we're going to dig through and find the bullshit.
We're
going to
troll
them.
Yeah, because I think there's some really shitty advice out there for brides, and we're going to bring it to you.
So coming to you next week, what not to do.
What not to do.
K-N-O-T. Can't.
I love you.
So we're going to debunk some popular wedding prep advice.
Yeah, there's just a lot of false.
Not great. And we're going to tell you why that's probably not great.
Yeah. And we'll see who's funding that too. I'll look into it.
Please don't look into
probably
it.
Probably like David's Bridal, who's gone bankrupt.
They're bankrupt. Who's not?
Maybe
everybody's
it's Putin.
Bankrupt.
I don't know.
It's fine. Okay. Whitney, let us wrap this shit show and tell people where they can find us.
Y'all can find us at Brighter Die Podcast on Instagram. I think TikTok is still up and running, so you can see us there.
Yeah, but it'll be gone September 9th, I think Congress said. It's over. Yeah, it's done.
I had to turn off the news. It's so crazy.
Good thing you did. Just
get your boots ready. Well, and hopefully we've been a good distraction from the craziness going on in the world, guys.
So
hit us up. Send us an email. I love all of the DMs. There are some great DMs this week. If you have questions or need advice, we're here for you.
Yeah. So come find us.
Yes. Yeah.
Till next time. Okay, love you. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Oh, my gosh. Babes, thanks for tuning in. To share your story, be She's featured so on the cute. Pod, or for inquiries, hit us up at brighterdiepodcast@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at brighterdiepodcast. An image. We're such idiots. God, I love it over here.
God. Well, I'm just keep getting freaked out by the, there's like deer on the wall.
I'm so tired.
I'm like, who's looking at me? Okay. My friends. There's also a ghost in this house.
I don't know what to say. I'm losing it. I've been on for 50 minutes and I'm losing the plot. Oh God. I'm so tired.
Where are you? Megan doesn't like Blink 182. It's a shame. It's just Dave Grohl all the time.
I'm back in the booth. Somebody asked me over the weekend, whatever happened to Eminem? I don't have an answer for them.